It's time for WEEI at Night.
Wide open touchdown, Allen Hurts.
Butler's been getting victimized all season long, guys. He's been giving up deep touchdowns every other game. As a high-priced corner that came over from New England after what happened in the Super Bowl where you didn't play and Bill Belichick benched you, hasn't performed well for the Tennessee Titans this year.
With Chris Vellante.
Oh, he did.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Oh, sounds to remember that.
Congratulations to him having 48 points. But the ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bullshit move like that. So, it was incredible.
I love that Kyrie did this.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Midterm election night edition of WEEI at Night. Steve Buckley's in the house. Chris Vellante as well, along with you, till 10 o'clock. That's when Patrick Gilroy comes in with late night. And I'm guessing we get back to a lot of Celtics talk.
So he'll have the West Coast results.
He will have all the West Coast results.
Right.
Yes, exactly. According to the latest data, it's being refreshed constantly by, in this case, the Globe website, because that's who I'm on. Maura Healey, 71-28 lead on James McMahon.
Too close to call.
10% reporting, so we'll see. James McMahon, a pro-Trump Cape Cod attorney, running for attorney general, Republican. Or Healey, decidedly anti-Trump incumbent attorney general.
Yes.
Massachusetts auditor, Suzanne Bump is leading Helen Brady.
She got a good bump from the Central Mass results.
She did, 61%. Skipping the clerk of courts here. It's over in terms of the governor race. Charlie Baker back for four more years. Right now, 65% to 35 for Jay Gonzalez. And Liz Warren is projected to be back for another term as Massachusetts senior senator, as she has soundly defeated Jeff Deal.
Is there a percentage just there listed, or is it not?
I'm looking for it now. This website is not super user-friendly. So,
I was going to say, well, it's the Globe, but that would be
63-34.
Okay, so that's a beating.
That's with 12% in. But yeah, that one has already been called, so... A lot of lopsided results, not a lot of drama around the Commonwealth. One other interesting one that just came across, or at least I just saw it a couple of minutes ago. Question one, which is the nurse staffing requirements, that has been defeated. No on one is the victor.
I voted yes. I didn't.
You did not back the winning horse.
I did not back the winning horse.
Sorry to tell you.
Sorry.
So the one side has, or the yes side on one has conceded.
Did you read the article that stated that this thing took a major turn about a month ago?
Yeah, and I understand that it was an influx of money. A lot of outside money came in.
Reasonable yes, then.
Well, there was also a lot of money on the yes side.
Okay.
I mean, that was they were well-funded on both
quibble.
Sides. I think the biggest thing that turned the tide was there was that study that was done that said it was going to cost something like $900 million.
Right.
I think people were looking at that and saying, even if that's overshooting it by double, $450 million, half $1 billion.
I think that each side had an ad campaign involving a harried nurse.
Yes,
that
very
had just
grizzled.
Worked a 14-hour shift.
The Bill Galvin of nurses.
The
so
Bill
to speak.
Galvin
yes.
of nurses. They should have taken the two nurses and had them slug it out, and the winner would get their side victorious.
This is one of those, and not that I always advocate taking power away from the people, though sometimes it doesn't seem like the worst idea in the world. This is one where I couldn't figure out why it was on the ballot. I mean, I guess you can put things on the ballot, and if they pass a certain set of requirements, and they're certified by the attorney general, then they're there. But
nurses are like the firemen. Like, you, everyone supports nurses.
Right.
There's no such thing as, like, a bad nurse. Everyone is
everybody's
pro-nurse.
Pro-nurse, yeah.
And then you see two commercials, and each has the harried nurse that just worked the 14-hour shift. And it's like, oh, I got to vote no. No, I'm going to vote yes. So which harried nurse do you support? It was really an amazing thing to watch on TV to see the harried nurses.
And everybody did the same thing that I think you and I did. Which is just ask nurses.
That's what I did. I said to my friend, several friends, I don't know how to vote on this. How do I vote? All of my nurse friends said yes.
You met
a nurse friend that said no.
My nurse friends, including my mother, went the other way.
That might be a trump card.
My best nurse friend, went the other way on and said no.
And she would know.
Look, and I covered the issue a bit. But it was more about the language of the ballot question than anything else. I came back to, I don't understand why the voters are deciding this particular one. Because I don't think that the majority of people who cast a ballot on either side could really sink their teeth into an informed opinion about it. And the question itself I mean, just, I knew which way I was going on it, but the question itself was, at least on my ballot.
Well, I had to go to the bottom with it.
It was the entire column.
I skip all past that.
I mean, that was like two Herald columns worth of words just to explain it.
Yeah.
Doesn't that tell you something?
That's my lead.
Boil it down. You know, if you can't boil it down to a paragraph, I know at the end they do. If you want this, vote yes. If you want this, vote no.
I always go to the bottom.
The sheer number of words.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I knew which way I was going to go.
And I did too, but I still read the
if you
vote yes thing.
Oh, I read that part. Yeah. I didn't read the whole thing. And I don't know. That wouldn't have been enough. You asked me before, you know, would I go back if I ever made a mistake? If I, even that one, if I had accidentally filled in the wrong circle, I don't think I could have summoned. whatever. We'll see how it goes. If it's a one vote margin, I'll feel bad. Other than that, no. I don't think I could summon the, I don't know what it would be. The humility, I guess.
Yeah, chutzpah.
To walk over there and say, I need a new ballot.
Did I hear that Ben got
And you also know that Marge, 86-year-old Marge, is going to be screaming it, like you said, across the, this guy needs a new ballot.
Yeah.
To 97-year-old Vance, who's also manning the polling station.
Yeah, it's true.
But I was, you're right. You were about to say, Ben efforted something for us.
Did we uncover the Aaron Rodgers quip that I mentioned from the 60 Minutes interview?
I think we did. This is Aaron Rodgers from 60 Minutes, what, 5-6 years ago.
I'm only sensitive when people tell me that I'm a lot smaller in person than they thought I would be.
We saw that happen with you and a guy in Milwaukee.
One more time.
Folks had won a contest to meet Rodgers. You can see how much he's enjoying that. And then a guy just had to say this.
You look a little bit smaller than I thought you'd be.
I don't appreciate that.
I don't get it. Like, why?
And all he had to say was, you know, you ain't so hot yourself. Or
yeah,
something.
Exactly.
I mean,
like some quip.
You know?
Something. But, and he doesn't, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't say that to him necessarily, especially now that I know it's going to tick him off. But
I remember that. I remember I was watching that night because it was one of those, it was like, it's on like right after the game I had just been watching. And they go, oh, I'm going to watch this. And then I saw that. I go, don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate that.
And he's such like an easily likable guy. It's one of the first times I've ever heard him do something that made him seem like kind of a dink.
And you know what? I think it's because he's not that tall, I have more respect for him. Because it's, you know, the stereotypical quarterback is the long-legged guy with the big arm. And
guy like Brady's 6'4".
And then you get guys that aren't, you know, Roethlisberger does not look like a quarterback. He looks like a wrecking crew. And certainly Aaron Rodgers, Doug Flutie. And there are guys like that. So I would wear that as a badge of honor.
Yeah, I would. Absolutely. If you're outside the physical prototype. So that's why you voted for Jay Gonzalez.
Yes.
He's not your prototypical governor.
The vote for the little guy.
Vote for the little guy. I didn't spend a lot of time watching the debates, I'll be perfectly honest, but I imagine the difference in height on stage must have been pretty dramatic.
I did not watch. They happened all during the Sox thing, so I didn't see a lot of those.
Yeah, they did.
I saw highlights.
They had the opportunity, I think, to change tens of minds going opposite Red Sox World Series games. And there was at least one attorney general debate, and there were three Senate debates between Warren and Deal. None of them apparently made any difference whatsoever, maybe on the final margin.
The Bourne supremacy didn't change any minds.
What was the Bourne supremacy?
Oh, she was citing somebody or something in the town of Bourne.
Was this Warren?
Liz Warren. And she she couldn't pronounce Bourne.
Oh, boy.
Home of the Bourne Braves in the Cape Cod League.
I've heard people mess up Wareham.
Wareham, yes.
Or Wareham.
Yes. And you
can
always,
Bourne's usually pretty safe.
You can always tell the Mass politician who's not from Mass.
And, of course, it's the team that has the town that has a Cape League team that has a Native American name, right?
That's right.
It's got to be that one.
Yes.
Couldn't be the Kituat Kettleers. It's got to be.
Not the Kettleers, no.
Or the Brewster Whitecaps. It's got to be.
Oh, you're a Cape
Bourne
guy?
Braves. Of course I'm a Cape guy.
You're a Cape Cod League fan?
Brewster Whitecaps, man. They're my team.
Wow.
Had a place in, family's had a place in Brewster since I was two.
Well,
so that's like a second home
for me. I'm a working class kid from Cambridge and Central Square. We never had a house down the Cape, so I wouldn't know.
I came from Milford, which if you listen to Greg Dickerson, he makes it sound like the most hardscrabble hellhole that has ever existed. I had a much different experience.
I thought that it was, actually.
No, I don't think
it
wasn't
like all Italian
me.
Immigrants and stuff back in the early 20th century. Seriously.
Well, by the time Dickerson and then I came along, I think things were going a little bit better.
Become gentrified and rich people like you had moved in.
Well, my parents were not wealthy and they were born and raised in Milford.
Okay.
So
Milford,
Milford.
Okay, I thought you said Milton there for a minute.
No, Milford.
Okay.
Milford, where there's a couple of competitive races, by the way. Their state house rep and their state senator.
Are we getting
senate.
An update on that soon before we go off the air, or are we going to leave that?
You know,
to,
I can't get an update.
Gilroy.
I have an in at town hall in Milford. So I can try to contact my source there and see how things
well,
are going.
Well, I'm from Somerville, and all those races were decided like at noontime.
Did Curtatone have an opponent? Is he
well,
even
he,
up
he
this time
not,
around?
He wasn't running this year. But
no.
State rep, Pat Jalen, provost, everything was uncontested.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing in Watertown. It wasn't really wasn't much drama. The contested races were the statewide ones that we just talked about
yes.
that all finished 70-30, basically. All right, we got another half hour to go. We got Patrick Gilroy coming in here at 10 o'clock for WEEI Late Night. It's WEEI at night until then.
It's WEEI at night on Sports Radio WEEI.
You know, I can't deny the fact that I played there for 8 years. We had a lot of success. You know, Bill was my coach. You know, he traded me to Kansas City. We didn't talk for a couple months, maybe a year. And then we became friends, and I used him as a resource when I coached, when I started my coaching career, and still talk to him, you know, a lot now. And this week we're competitors, and we're always competitors. It was as far as I'm still coaching, and so is he. So I guess it's unique from that standpoint, but. You know, as far as how much is his philosophy is in me, I think that, you know, spending time there, I think there's some similarities that I believe in and that you grow up as a player believing in. But then I think there's, you know, there's a different, we have a different personality. But you know, I respect his friendship. I respect his, you know, guidance and leadership when I played there. But now, you know, we're competitors and I, you know, we have to do everything we can to try to beat the Patriots.
It's how you know you've been coaching for a long time. It's kind of like when you're a teacher and all of a sudden you have somebody and you say, oh, I had your father. Now one of your players is coaching against you. And that's what Bill Belichick has this Sunday with Mike Vrabel coaching against him and coming off a pretty impressive win on Monday Night Football last night. In Tennessee, their front seven's good. Their defense is good. I don't think they can score enough points, frankly, to keep up with the Patriots. And the Pats are coming off their most impressive win of the season. But it's another one of those interesting coaching tree, and we look at the coach tree for Belichick and the success or lack thereof at the NFL level, but now we got a player that's branched off into that in Mike Vrabel. It's one
How
of the storylines.
How many touchdowns did he score?
Vrabel?
8, 9?
Yeah, I feel like every one was memorable. It's like how Adrian Claiborne played 17 snaps, and I feel like I can remember all of
and
them
it's like
from Sunday
every
night.
Time he came in on offense, he scored.
And you knew it was going to happen.
And you knew it was going to happen.
And they still couldn't stop
You'd
it.
Sit there and say, oh, Vrabel's on it, tight end or whatever. And boom, he'd score.
Yeah.
One pass, one touchdown. And I remember once they had a game in San Diego that they lost, a regular season game in San Diego that I covered, and he scored a touchdown in that game. And we all went up to him and talking to him, and then I don't know what it was, but someone said, hey, he scored a touchdown. And he got really, as players will, I don't want to talk about it. All right. Because, you know, they lost. He doesn't want us to talk. And I remember him saying once he wanted to score a touchdown for every one of his children. I think he had three kids. So he wanted to have three game
yeah.
balls, three touchdowns to give to his kids. He ended up, he would have had to have lots more kids. But he scored. I'll look it up.
He ended up being able to give them all three and then keep one for himself. He had 10 touchdowns.
That was amazing. And it's just what you said. If he came in to play offense,
you knew it was
he
coming.
Was going to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
I'd love to know if there are numbers on that. How many times he went in on offense and didn't score.
It's one of those things where
I don't think he ever had a drop.
I don't remember it. I feel like I remember all the touchdowns.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things when people sort of try to ding, as I think the texter was trying to do a while back, and Brady's a system quarterback and everything else. Well, if what they're doing is so easy and so simple, how come it seems like nobody can stop it? And Vrabel's an example of that. It didn't look like it was anything terribly complicated. He wasn't normally in the game. You knew he was going to get the ball. You had 100% knowledge, it seemed, of what the Patriots were about to do, and no one could stop it.
Well, another one was Brady on a sneak.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was like at one point it was like 100%.
Well, and now
they didn't seem to avail themselves of that the other night though.
Well, because I think finally, and I don't know
like
if this is the league
two guys
catching up, but
yeah.
Yeah, they had everything stacked up in the middle to prevent the Brady sneaks. They ended up running to the outside, and they did have a couple of bad play calls too in the red zone. That fade to Josh Gordon, that ill-fated fade that he just kind of fell down. But even if Gordon stays on his feet, I don't know if he makes the play. But it's kind of an interesting side note, I guess. And the matchup between Belichick and Vrabel finally going up against a former player. The Malcolm Butler angle to all of this is another sort of interesting side story, and I already heard it today, the calls starting up again about more conspiracy theories about why Malcolm Butler didn't play, etc. What can be agreed upon is you would think who's ever lining up opposite Butler, they're going to go to that guy a lot because he's been bad this year, and he's been torched consistently every time he's been on the field, regardless of who he's been up against. I'm surprised Jason Garrett didn't go at him more last night. But those are the little side stories, and then otherwise we're sort of heading into what should be an easier stretch for the Patriots, beginning with the Titans on Sunday.
I'm trying to get his, here it is.
Vrabel's touchdowns, he had 10.
Oh, you looked it up?
Yeah, I said he had enough to give each of his kids three.
I was locked into my
stats. And then one.
Yeah, 10. Touchdowns.
10 touchdowns.
And he had two of them at Kansas City before he came to the Patriots. Didn't know that.
Before he came or after? He was traded.
After he was traded. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. He started out with Pittsburgh.
Right. And then one of the craziest, at the time, I thought one of the craziest trades, but then you saw what Matt Cassel became, and you said, maybe they got a decent little
return. Who was Mike Vrabel's teacher in a course he took called Military History?
Bill Belichick?
At Ohio State. No, not Bill Belichick.
Urban Meyer?
Woody Hayes.
Woody Hayes. That's going way back.
After he had been dethroned, remember they had the thing with the, was it the peach bowl, the tangerine bowl?
Oh, right.
He slugged the guy running up the field.
Yep.
And he was asked to retire, but he remained on campus as an icon. And he taught a course, I believe, in military history. And Mike Vrabel, I guess, took the course.
You know what? That begs the question. How come you are not remaining anywhere as an icon? Is there just some place you can hang around as an icon?
Who, me?
Yeah, why not?
Some bar in Cambridge, maybe.
The coffee shop in Davis Square. He's an icon.
I will be the old guy at Diesel in 20 years, yes.
What's he doing here? He's an icon. We let him hang around. Thought this was interesting, by the way. John Heyman of FanRag has been tweeting out, you know, it's all the agent news now out at the GM meetings. And apparently Dave Meter, who's Craig Kimbrell's agent,
yep,
pretty strong pitch. Meter says that Kimbrell is the best all time, not just recently, but all time. Lowest ERA.
I might argue with a certain guy in New York, number 42, but nope. You know, whatever.
Best of all time. Lowest ERA, lowest batting average against, lowest OPS against, and points out that he saved all of his chances in the postseason, which I think leaves out part of the story.
Yeah.
He did save them, but he felt like he was saving from himself at points there. But it sort of reinforces what I think we all understand. Kimbrell is going to ask for, command, likely get huge dollars on the free agent market, and he's probably not going to get them here.
I believe he waned late in the season and was not the closer of old in the postseason that he was during the regular season. I don't think that anyone could argue that point. And you can use all kinds of statistics to back up the point, which this gentleman does with fervor. But I think he's a dicey sign. And dare I say it, you know who else is a dicey sign? Is Chris Sale.
Yeah. I think with that physique, the history of arm trouble, yeah. He's one of those. I know everybody's one pitch away, but it feels like with some guys that one pitch might come a little sooner than others.
And they worked really hard this season to limit the amount of pitches he threw. And they governed themselves with the belief that they had overdone him the year before, and that wasn't going to happen again. And they still ended up with a banged-up Chris Sale late in the season, which is a little scary. Jason Mastrodonato from the Herald came up with a stat based on pitches thrown, not just starts and innings, but pitches thrown. And at a certain juncture in the season, he had thrown 180 fewer pitches over the same point starts the year before, which is roughly two starts.
Yeah.
90 pitches a start, 180.
Yeah, maybe a little less than two starts.
Yeah,
about
but
two.
You see the point.
Yeah.
And even with that care and that caution that they exercise with Chris Sale, they still end up with a troubled lefty late in the season. So he's fun to have around. He's exciting. God knows he helped win a World Series.
It's relatively low cost for the moment.
Yeah. So I think in terms of moving forward with him when it comes to re-signing him, I'm not so sure I would do that.
Who has the better next 5 years, Chris Hill or David Price?
David Price. I think David Price is going to turn into an old warhorse. And he's going to be one of those second, not that his first half of his career has been bad. It's been borderline Hall of Fame, if not Hall of Fame. But I think he's gotten I hate to stoop the cliche here, but he's gotten the monkey off his back in terms of what he intends to do late in his career. And he how can I say this? The thing he said after game five with the, you guys love playing that trump card.
Yeah, you don't have it anymore. Yeah.
Okay, all I would say to that, and I said this on Channel 4 the other night, and I'll say it again. I don't begrudge him. If he wants to play nya-nya-nya-nya-nya and play that revenge tour, he's entitled to that. I applaud that. God bless him. You go.
Sure.
Because God knows we beat him up, and rightfully so, because his postseason is never bad.
Both sides were right on that.
Yeah, so I regret nothing I ever wrote because he wasn't winning those games. Now he's won. He wants to do that. That's fine. All I would suggest to him moving forward is change the metaphor, because the whole thing about I have the trump card and you guys love playing that, he always had the trump card. We never had it. He always had it. All he had to do was win postseason starts. And when he didn't win the postseason starts, he enabled us to write, oh, he never wins postseason starts.
Wasn't playing the card.
Yeah, he had it. He had it in his back pocket. All he had to do was win.
And he did.
Wasn't like we were making stuff up. Oh, he's, you know, it was right there for him. Going back to the original point, he can say anything he wants. He has earned that right. I applaud that. I was right there in that room. You go.
And I'm inclined to agree. I think the safer bet. Now, the dollars change the equation a little bit. One guy's making $31 million. One guy's making a lot less than that. But just take money out of it for a second. The safer bet the next 5 years to me is Price.
Yeah.
Just in terms of he'll give you innings. And it'll be out there every fifth day and everything else. You in the mood for some baseball trivia?
It'll get me in trouble, but sure.
All right. Chad and Beverly wants to give you some baseball trivia. Go ahead, Chad.
Buck, coming home from the BC game tonight, I heard you on the radio, and good to hear you out there. I came across this one the other day. 1950s, Joe DiMaggio was one of the last American League players to have 400 total bases in a season. Only one player has done it in the American League since. Can you name that player?
Jim Rice.
God, you're good.
That's what I do for a living. Did I look that up?
78.
Nope. 78.
It's been done seven times in the National League, but Rice is the only one in the American
League. I mean, I only know that because it's a fact that he had a historically off-the-chart season in 1978. So,
yeah, he got the better of you there, Chad.
Hey, Buck. One last thing. BC Clemson, Saturday. Any interest?
I will not physically be there, but if it helps, I was there for about 2 hours this afternoon. Does that put me in good stead with you?
Absolutely.
All right. I'll be writing about it for Friday in the Athletics. So
all
there
right,
you go.
You can look at that.
That was an easy one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and obviously you didn't look it up, just the speed with which you answered. I mean, nobody's that. How long it took you to find Mike Vrabel's 10 touchdowns that I had given you 4 or 5 minutes before should be evidence that you did not cheat in answering that correctly.
I'm not quick draw McGraw on the internet.
Absolutely not. All right, we'll wrap things up on the other side and then hand it off to Patrick Gilroy on Late Night. He's going to keep it. The West Coast results are coming in. Gilroy is going to be doing all that and probably talking a lot of Celtics too. It's WEEI at Night.
Back to WEEI at Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, a couple more results here for you, Buck. Well, just sort of a headline here. Democrats' Senate hopes are fizzling.
Oh, boy.
They're fizzling out.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, it seemed like it was pretty clear.
How's the House looking?
House looking good.
All right.
And that was the consensus opinion, I guess, was Democrats had a very good chance of taking the House. Republicans had a very good chance of keeping the Senate. And they also, I think they're going to be over 50, but they also have the advantage of just needing a 50-50 tie to
have a de facto
majority. Is
Pelosi going to make a comeback here, or what's going to happen there?
I'd be shocked.
I think she's done.
Going to make her the...
I don't know. I'm asking. You're Mr. Politics guy. I'm just a baseball guy.
Although the Democratic Party is not exactly one that can be accused of always wanting to put the fresh faces out there.
No, they're not.
Here's somebody brand new that you've never had the chance to vote for.
See,
that
I'm
kind of
still
thing.
Not ruling out Joe Biden getting the Democratic nomination in 2020.
I think it would be foolish to rule it out.
Yeah, I think because everyone, for all his foibles, people like him.
Yeah. You have two guys that are combined, what, 150 years old running for running for president, which is great.
He might be a one-term president.
Yeah.
One a caretaker would president.
God might make him a one-term president.
Yes.
We'll see. Yeah, so that's the way it looks right now. Again, in the local scene, there were no real surprises. Baker, Warren, Healy, Bump, Galvin, Goldberg, all winners.
You know, and they called me at the last minute.
And no one won.
And asked me to do this show. I did not take into consideration at first. It dawned on me a few minutes later after I told Chris Curtis I would do this. And happily so. Mm-hmm. I forgot that it was election night because I had already voted when he called me. And I wasn't thinking in terms. I would have been that guy on the couch.
Yeah.
Switching to the state. Now, we go live to the Copley Plaza.
Watching the guy with the touchscreen,
hitting
the districts.
Yeah.
And they pop up. And in Broward County, here's what's
CNN,
happening.
You know.
Well, they've all got them now.
I do when I'm on NBC Sports Boston, they have like the top 10 list.
Yeah.
You know, who's the best shortstop of all time? And you're not supposed to pull, you're supposed to punch, like tap it.
Yeah.
And then pull it. You're not supposed to just pull it. And I always screw it up. You're on live TV, and of course the thing, and I put it on the wrong chart and stuff like that. And I would not be. If
turns out Bogarts is the best shortstop of all
exactly,
time.
Yeah.
I can't
so
get him out of that column.
I would have ruined the presidential race much worse than the Russians 4 years ago, 2 years ago.
Fair enough. So I am going to do everything I can to make sure I get to the LBJ Ranch.
Yeah, I would.
On
was
Saturday.
This all off the air or on the air?
I can't remember. At this
I think
point.
This was off the air.
I think it was
you
off the
and
air.
Your lady friend are making a trip to Texas for business purposes, and you're going to be
for her,
in San Antonio,
and
you're going to go to Austin.
Yep.
And you practically go right through Johnson City. And if you do not visit the LBJ Ranch, I am telling all of you, it is one of the coolest places because they have it exactly as it was in the 1960s when he was president, and it was the Texas White House. And you get to walk through the rooms, and all his clothing is there, and his phones, and the TV with the three screens, and all that cool stuff. It's just a fun little side trip.
Yeah, I think Saturday might be the day for that.
When you spent 40 years of your life traveling, covering sports, You have a rental car and you have a day off. This is the stuff you go see.
When were you near Austin?
I was in San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I was there for the Super Bowl when they played in Houston a few years ago. So what I did was, instead of flying to Houston, I went 2 days early and I flew to San Antonio and I saw the Alamo. Then I drove to Johnson City. Then I drove to Austin to have dinner with a couple of old friends. And then I drove to Houston. So I was in... In 2 days, I was in San Antonio, Johnson City, Austin, and Houston.
Planning on doing the Alamo in San Antonio.
Alamo will disappoint you.
It will disappoint. Okay.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize it is smack dab in the middle of downtown San
I think
Antonio.
Our hotel's near it,
Yeah, people think it's out in the desert somewhere.
Well, back then it was.
Directly across the street, there's like Harry's Bail Bonds and stuff. Yeah. It's not a, you know, T-shirt shops and stuff. It's not as majestic when you're standing amid it. Than if you're looking at pictures of it.
Fair enough. And then tomorrow night is dinner at Vince Young Steakhouse, which I'm told is good.
Oh, I can't speak to, but I'm sure that's fine.
He was a hell of a college quarterback, so if he can grill a steak as well as he could play in the Orange Bowl,
I think that's a good.
Or the Rose Bowl, I think it'll go just fine. So I will make that happen because I don't want to disappoint you.
No, and then down the road in a few or three, two or three weeks.
That's a show people can look forward to over the holidays, maybe. That's like a December 26th.
I can't believe we got through 3 hours on election night.
We did.
And I think you saved the day by providing occasional results.
As they roll in. They're just rolling. Just rolling in
and,
constantly.
And Suzanne Bump is going to hold on to her seat as state auditor.
She's going to keep auditing things. Deb Goldberg's going to keep counting the money in
the
Treasury.
There we go.
Maura Healey's going to keep suing the Trump administration as the AG.
The oil companies.
Charlie Baker's back as a very tall governor. All kinds of stuff.
I love it.
All right, Steve Buckley, appreciate it as always. Great stuff. So Friday, BC. Can you give any insight? I know it's a BC piece in The Athletic, but any particular...
It's a work in progress.
Okay.
I have some fun little stuff I've come up with.
And you're doing a lot of reporting on it today. So
I talked to a bunch of people and some former BC players that I'm talking with, and it'll be a fun piece.
Cool. So if you don't have an Athletic subscription, get one. If you do, Look for that. Get you set for Boston College and Clemson on Saturday. They'll be coming out Friday from Steve Buckley of The Athletic, and it's still a little unusual to say that, I've got to say. He's on Twitter at Buck in Boston. You can find me at ChrisVellani44. Ben Charleston, fantastic job as always, all night long, hanging with us through the many twists and turns of the last 3 hours. We got Patrick Gilroy and WEEI Late Night Election Special coming up. Fill out your ballots and stick around. Vote for Gilroy. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.